We're going to continue in our Proverbs series, Walking in Wisdom. Question as we start out here, who here has ever had an MRI? I was expecting like half the church. So, MRI, it can be, now I pulled this one off of Google. I wasn't going to go digging for mine from years ago, and I didn't have Oscars right off the bat here from the other week, but they can be uncomfortable, right? You have to hold really still and go into this like tube thing while all the, you know, magnets whirl around you. But it's necessary to go through this if there's something wrong on the inside. They need to go deep to figure out what's wrong. And the MRI doesn't reveal what's on the outside, right? It reveals what's deep. You don't look at this MRI scan here and be like, oh, I know what color pants this person is wearing, right? It's revealing what's deep. And today's message, it's kind of like a scan, like an MRI scan. So we're not going to be focusing so much on the outward as much as we are going deep and focusing on the inward. So we're going to be talking about money today, wealth, and what Proverbs has to say about that. I didn't want to say anything last week because I know a lot of people wouldn't show up this week if they knew I was preaching on money. But we're going to be talking about wealth and what Proverbs says about wealth today. And if you guys are like me, when you first hear wealth, what comes to mind is probably those rich people out there, right? That's not me. Because I think so many of us have this thought of what's wealthy, what's rich, it's the other people, okay? But how many of us, again, got out of a nice comfy bed this morning? How many of us had breakfast this morning? You guys are snacking on stuff now. How many of you had a warm shower this morning? How many of you drove in a car to get here this morning? Okay, I want this to sink in a little bit. I have some stats here too before we get started in Proverbs. Now we're starting out pretty high, but this is for two adults. If you have a household income of $100,000, look at this. There is only 1.9% of the global population richer than you. If you're two adults making $100,000, okay? If you have a household income of $50,000, two adults, you're still this rich. There's only 7.4% of people globally richer than you. Let's drop it down in half again, $25,000 for two adults. Look how big of a percentage you are. You're richer than 82.9% of the global population if you are two adults living on a $25,000 income. And then even if we go to a more extreme, this is one adult, $6,000 per year, you're still richer than 68% of the global population, okay? So as we approach Proverbs today, I just want this to sink in. The wealthy, the rich, it's us, okay? So I just want us to take that to heart. When we approach the scriptures, don't be thinking of the wealthy or the rich as the people out there. It's all of us, okay? But we need to dig deep because it's not so much about the money in our bank account. It's how we position ourselves with it. Amen? Okay. So how do wise people handle wealth? I'd like us to turn to Proverbs chapter 11. We're just going to use these five verses as a base text. And then we're going to kind of jump all over the place in Proverbs. I have five things to think about this morning about how wise people handle wealth. Okay? So if you would stand with me out of respect for God's word, let's read Proverbs 11, 24 through 28, and then we'll consider five things. So Proverbs 11, 24 to 28. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. You may be seated. Okay. The whole reason we're going through Proverbs this summer is to figure out how to be wise. We want to be wise people walking in wisdom. So how do wise people handle their wealth? First of all, wise people honor God first with their wealth. They honor God first with their wealth. I know this is a very difficult thing for many people. I want to use a little illustration here. Let's say, kids, that I told you, man, Henry is such a great kid, and it's fresh in my head, right? He just had his birthday last week, but Henry is just this great kid. I love him so much, and he really wants a new bike for his birthday, okay? So I have this money that I make every month, and I go out, and I spend a bunch of money on myself, and then what's left over, I found this bike for Henry, okay? I got this bike with the last dollar that I had. It was such a good deal, okay? How do you think Henry's gonna feel if I say, Henry, I really love you, and I want you to have a bike for your birthday, and I give him this? You got a thumbs down, Josiah. Not good? Why is that? If I love Henry, I'm giving him a bike. If the bike's in bad shape, right? It's not really worth much, is it? So if I express that I really love Henry and I want to give him my blessing, my best blessing that I can give him to show him how much I love him, this is not the kind of bike that I should give him, right? I should probably give him what's up front and not spend so much money on myself, right? Okay, I think it's the same, similar thing, at least, with all of us, with how God provides for us. I think there's been many times that people say they love the Lord, but then how do they live throughout the month or the year or their life with their wealth? A lot of times, they just kind of give God the scraps of what's left. But if we truly love the Lord, we say, I love the Lord more than anything, won't we in faith see all our wealth, all our income, all our gifts, all our ability to make money comes from him, and I can in turn then bless God and say thank you with the first of my income and live off the rest. Honor God first with your wealth. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Okay? God's saying, if you notice all the riches, all the blessings, all the wonderful things that I provide for you, if you notice that, by giving me the first fruits, by taking the time to say, this comes from you, Lord, and I want to recognize that with the first and the best of what I have, then God says, I will continually provide for you. Okay? Proverbs 11, 24. One gives freely. We read this. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Think about that. This position of someone who's being generous with their riches, and the Lord continues to provide and bless them, and yet those who withhold and think they're maybe being wise with their money, or, you know, they're protecting it, they just want more. That's never enough. Does that make sense? Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Now, it's important that we don't take this out of context, okay? But I also think that the principle applies. If we are humble before the Lord, if we put him first, if we live in reverent awe of who he is and what he does, he will bless us. And some of that blessing may come in riches. Okay? Now, again, I want to stress that the Proverbs are full of principles, not promises. Okay? I don't want us to think, well, if I just do this, this will happen. But as a principle, that's kind of what the Proverbs teach. If you want to live long, if you want to be healthy, if you want to be blessed, do these things. Fear the Lord and you will find that. Okay? It might not always come the way we expect, but the Lord will honor those who honor him. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6, 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's talking about food and clothing and things like that. But he's saying, you honor God first. If you seek him and his kingdom first, you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. God's going to take care of you. Does that make sense? So we honor God first with our wealth. That's what wise people do. Secondly, wise people guard their hearts from greed. Another story for you. This one's a little morbid, but there's a python, okay? Several years ago, there was a news article. There was a man named Dan Brandon in England found dead in his bedroom by his mother. The coroner concluded that Dan's 8-foot python named Tiny was instrumental in his death. Okay? Sounds like a sad story. It is. But Dan, the lover of exotic animals, would often commune, it said, with Tiny by allowing him to coil around his neck. So, I think snakes are fascinating, okay? I've even asked Leanne, can we get a little python? It would be kind of fun, okay? However, if you think it would be fun to have an 8-foot python roaming freely in your bedroom and letting it coil around your neck, I would question your sanity, right? But the thing is, church, we often commune with greed without realizing the danger of what will happen, okay? Now, when you hear the word greed, again, I think a lot of us think of the people out there, you know, those rich people that are so greedy and taxing me and all sorts of stuff. But think about greed and how it creeps into our life, how we deal with this 8-foot python picture of greed in our life all the time, okay? This might come in the form of discontentment. This might come in the form of comparing or coveting. This might come like acting like owners of all of our things instead of stewards, okay? We all struggle with greed in one form or another, and the fact is we can either treat it for what it is and say, I need to manage this struggle of mine and keep it in check and guard against it, or I can let it get big and commune with it, not realizing the danger that could happen. Does this make sense? Okay, so Proverbs 1:19 says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. If you don't guard against that greed, it will destroy you. It will continually squeeze the life out of you. A greedy person wants to feel more alive. That's why they seek more things. But yet it ends up draining their life. Proverbs 15:27 says, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Greed, again, doesn't just harm the person struggling with it. It will harm those around you. Your family, your friends, your relationships will be affected if you're letting this greed in your life. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament writes this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let that sink in, church. We live in a culture where we are constantly bombarded with advertising and marketing and billboards and you name it. Buy this and you'll be happy. Oh, you don't have this. You know, all sorts of stuff. And again, it's not a sin to have money. I think the Lord has blessed us all abundantly living in this country and having the freedoms we have. But we have to be guarded against the love of money. Be content with what we have, or it will choke the life out of us. Third point, wise people choose integrity over riches. I debated sharing this next example because it's mildly disturbing again, but I'm going to. Bathroom. There's a joke or a meme that always floats around the internet that says that if you go to the bathroom for an average of 10 minutes each workday, it equals 40 hours of paid vacation each year. Okay, kind of funny. But if you think about it, the point is, like, I think a lot of us have this thing like, oh, I'm gonna stick it to the man, right? Like, my boss makes so much more than me, it's so unfair, I'm doing all the work, I'm gonna take advantage of my bathroom breaks and earn money and get it, okay? But the thing is, that's not integrity, is it? That's selfishness. And we need to be mindful of that. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. False weights, people have been doing it for years, right? I'm probably gonna ruin this joke, but it makes me think of another one where a little old lady goes into the butcher and he only had one hunk of meat left, and you know, she asked for him to weigh it, and he weighed it, and she's like, oh no, that's not big enough. So he kind of put it back, and then he took the same piece of meat, put it on the scale, and he just pushed a little bit down with his thumb, and she read the weight. She's like, oh, that's perfect. I'll take both of them. But the whole point is, right, like, people without integrity, they'll get caught. It's a sin. It's a sin, you guys, to do this kind of thing. We can chuckle at the joke, but the thing is, it's a sin if we're not walking in integrity. Proverbs 28:6, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. The Lord delights in people who walk in integrity and honesty. One person I have admired over the last couple of years about walking in integrity is my dear wife. I have seen her, I know I didn't warn her that I was gonna say this, but I have seen her many times as she honors her clients. She won't take a direct competition of a client that she's built a relationship and is working with because she doesn't wanna be conflicted. And I just see that as, that's integrity. That's honoring someone, and I believe the Lord honors her by walking in integrity like that. And it's been such a great example to me to see her walking in integrity like that, okay? Wise people choose integrity over riches. Fourth, wise people trust God, not gold. Trust God, not gold. I think all of us would like to say, I'd like more gold. Right, Josiah? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Have a bunch of gold, get whatever we want. We wouldn't have to worry about a lot of stuff, would we? Oh, that costs money? No big deal, right? And it's easy, the more wealthy that we become, and again, I think a lot of that's perspective. We're all on a sliding scale, right? But I think the more wealthy we become, the more our lifestyle follows our wealth. And we get to a point where we tend to not trust God quite as much because we got the money to pay for things. Does that make sense? And the illustration I thought of, yeah, I know, look at that pit bull, right? He is beautiful. He also looks a little scary. All right, if you saw this dog, you needed a dog for protection, and you saw this one, I'm like, I'm gonna spend my money on that for protection. Nothing can go wrong, right? That's a tough dog, right? People are gonna be afraid, no one's gonna bug me. Until all of a sudden someone actually does bug you, and you sick the dog on them, and you find out the dog doesn't have any teeth. Okay, could you imagine that? This dog looks pretty tough, and then it goes to bite someone who's attacking you, and it just gums their leg. Okay? We would say, well, that didn't fulfill what I wanted it to fulfill, right? I needed that tough dog for protection. and he's just, he's a gummy dog, right? This is the thing, you guys, entrusting gold over God. It looks like this. If we had just more money, if we just had more wealth, if we had more riches, if I had this, I would be good. I wouldn't have to worry about all these problems. And the thing is, when real problems come, the wealth is like this. It's just like a big, tough dog without any teeth. Okay? We feel safe only when our bank account seems full. We pray less when our needs are met. We worry about how much money we have. That's all trusting in gold rather than God. And what do the Proverbs say? 23:4-5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Again, we're going to talk about hard work and what Proverbs say about that in coming weeks. This is not saying don't work hard to earn money and things like that, but this is saying if you're working hard just to be wealthy, just to feel secure, just to have more riches, it's dumb. Okay? Because something could happen and your wealth could just fly away like an eagle. You guys seen an eagle fly? They can go high and far and fast, right? And our wealth can do the same thing. They always say, you know, you can't take it with you. And it's true. Trust God, not gold. Proverbs 30:7-9. Two things I ask of you, the king says, he's praying. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. He's saying, don't make me too rich where I don't trust you anymore, God, and don't make me too poor where I'm tempted to sin against others in order for my needs to be met. He's saying, Lord, keep me in a place that's humble before you, that recognizes you as the giver of all things, so that I can honor you with my wealth. Lastly, wise people live generously. I tried to think of a good illustration here. Hopefully this fits. But a candle, okay? What does this have to do with living generously? This is kind of weird, because if you think about it, a candle, as it burns, it gets smaller, right? But that's its design. A candle's not meant to be bought and then put in a drawer and staying in there, right? What do we do with a candle, Malachi? What would you do if you had...
Cake.
You light it. Yeah, you put it on a cake, right? Absolutely, that's one way. But a candle, whether it's for a cake or for a room or whatever, it's meant to be lit, right? It's not meant to sit in a drawer. It's meant to give itself away one flicker at a time. And the more that it shares its light, the more the room is filled. It's not losing, it's giving. We've all been at these Advent candlelight services, right? Where one candle starts the whole thing. Generosity works the same way, church. It looks like a loss on the surface. But in God's hands, it grows as it's designed to do. A candlelight service, no one's flame gets smaller by sharing. The flame stays the same. The room gets brighter and more beautiful the more that you share it. Okay? And like a candle, we aren't made to preserve wax. We are meant to burn bright and share the flame. So as the Lord blesses us, we are also meant to bless others. That's how he designed us to be. Just like a candle, as it kind of goes down, it's still doing its purpose. It's doing what it's meant to do. It's sharing light and spreading it. Does that make sense? Okay, Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Have you ever thought about that? When we're generous to people in need, we are lending to the Lord. We're giving to the Lord. The Lord, all throughout Scripture, cares about the poor, cares about the widow, cares about the orphan, and he blesses those many people to bless them. That's how he works. He wants to share his blessing through his people. And he honors those who honor the poor and the needy and the helpless and those who need provision. The Lord will honor. Luke 6:38. Jesus teaches this. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. Okay, this can be applied to many different things, but think about all the blessings that the Lord has given you. Are you being generous with the things he's given you? Your wealth, your time, your talents. Are you using it for the Lord and his people? Or are we hoarding it for ourselves? Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not grow weary of doing good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's good to be generous, to be watching for people in need throughout our week, but especially, church, for those who are in need right here in our midst. Take care of one another. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's important that we continue to do good. Proverbs shows us how wise people live when it comes to money and wealth. We've looked at five ways already. Honor God first with your wealth. Guard against greed. Choose integrity. Trust God and live generously. But if we're honest, how many of us have lived this out really well? We've all failed when it comes to this. We've trusted in our wealth. We've hoarded instead of giving. And we've given God our leftovers. And because we've sinned, this wisdom in Proverbs isn't enough. We need grace. And that's what's wonderful, is that the Lord loves his people so much that he sent his son to come and bring this message of grace to us. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you've sinned against God. Yes, you've sinned against others. But I can save you from the penalties of that. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This isn't talking about material finances, right? Like Jesus, think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, humbled himself to be born to this poor couple, born in a barn, lived a life of poverty, and then started a ministry. Lived a perfect life according to God's will, died in our place so that we could be set free and become adopted sons and daughters of God, rich in faith, rich in everlasting life and blessing. Because Jesus gave everything, we are set free from the bondage of sin and idolatry, and then we in turn then, when we are saved, we can live with open hearts and open hands, and bless others, and invite them into the same riches that we have in Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely.
So, a challenge for us this week. I want us to use Proverbs as an MRI scan this week. Spend some time in Proverbs, and diagnose what needs healing in your heart. I think all of us need to be challenged when it comes to wealth and money. Do I need to take a step of faith and start tithing or giving to God? Do I need to guard against consumerism and spending? Do I need to focus on integrity at work? Do I need to let go of the perception of security and trust God? Do I need to live and give generously to someone in need? How can I live in response to how God, how Christ has blessed me? And as you diagnose, remember this: God lavishes his love and his grace and his blessings on those who ask. If we want to find healing, church, all we have to do is ask in faith, and he will do it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this can be a touchy topic sometimes. I think we all realize that we can idolize money and possessions and the security of wealth. Lord, we can covet. We can be greedy. Lord, we need help. I thank you, Lord, for your word and how it convicts us. Holy Spirit, help us to believe your promises and your principles and put them into practice. Challenge us this week, Lord, and do a mighty work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And all God's people said, amen.